Welcome again to Read Comics.
Dum, dum, dum.
This is Florence.
Mike.
Marty.
And Jason.
And
Susie.
Yay!
Our special guest.
What number are we on?
35. This is the 35th podcast.
Wow.
It's almost as old as I am.
Milestone.
Almost. It's older than me. And Florence.
To our babies.
And Susie.
I'd never be older than Jason, though.
I hate you all.
You old sock. Okay.
You know, I bet at this point we've been doing this longer than a year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, our second one was during Iron Man. When did Iron Man come out?
That would have been May of last year.
So there we go.
Yep.
I think May. Maybe it was April.
So we're still averaging one every 2 weeks.
Hmm.
That doesn't seem likely.
So this week was one of the weeks where we'll just talk about things we've been reading recently. We've a few of us have piles here to choose from. And I think the next podcast will be back to the book club format for
Annihilation.
Yes.
Annihilation.
Stay tuned for a posting on when exactly that will be.
But not anyway. That we ever actually post.
Yeah.
Although Susie did. Once.
Yeah, Susie's
Yay.
Awesome. And it was so timely because we had just rewatched Dr. Horrible.
Yeah. Was it? Our friend Beth was in town and she hadn't seen it.
Well, to be fair, she was living in Singapore.
But they don't have internet in Singapore? I bet they have better internet in Singapore.
They have internet,
for
sure.
They have an embargo on Joss Whedon.
There's a place we're never going.
What was that?
If there's an embargo on Joss Whedon, she says there's a place she's never gone.
Oh, nice.
Yes. He's been caned, I guess. Or, I don't know, maybe.
No, he just drops some bubble gum on the street.
There's some fanfic in here somewhere.
Joss Whedon's probably written it.
I think just within the last month or so, I've seen commentary in the musical.
Oh, yeah.
Very funny.
I watched it once, but I was kind of distracted and entertaining at the time, and I really want to watch it again and actually pay attention.
So what did Dr. Horrible, you said it was timely because you had seen Dr. Horrible. What?
Because Susie posted on Read Comics a Dr. Horrible comic webcomic.
Oh.
Yeah. Which was more about Penny and not really about Dr. Horrible or even superheroes at all, really.
Yes. It was more about Penny because the last one was about... Moist.
Yep.
I couldn't remember his name. I was thinking it was Milk. Like, Milk.
Yeah, there's been Captain Hammer, Moist, and Penny now.
Yeah, I remember Captain Hammer. That wasn't too bad, I don't think.
It was okay. Isn't Penny the name of the woman on...
Inspector Gadget.
No.
But she is. Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
They're all the same character.
Wow. That's
amazing. Actually, they're not too dissimilar.
The girl that the geek crushes on has to be named Penny.
I guess
that's
so.
That's right.
I would think Bambi, but...
You
Bambi
know,
is a boy's name.
That is
it
one
is.
Aspect of Dr. Horrible.
Bambi
that...
was a boy.
Mm-hmm. He was the prince of the forest.
Exactly.
I have not really contemplated the aspects of Dr. Horrible being a geek. You know, sort of like... His character as defined by sort of the fact that he has a video blog and...
Poorly socialized around girls.
Yeah.
And
is obviously, like,
but
you
he
know, a science nerd.
Yeah. But he didn't really have... You know, he didn't really come off as...
You don't see that, no.
Yeah,
you don't get to see that at all.
Moist, definitely, though.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, just the vibe from Boy Moist. Even though he is less developed than Dr. Horrible is.
Yeah. Do we know Dr. Horrible's name?
No.
Billy.
Oh, Billy.
Buddy. Yeah, Billy. Yep.
What about Moist's?
We don't know Moist's name.
Captain Hammer's? No.
No.
Bad Horse?
MC.
MC. MC Horse? Oh, MC Hammer.
MC Hammer. Would be
anyway,
BC if it was anything.
Jason, what you been reading?
I read Bean World, and I loved it. That's a comic that I brought over, and Mario said, what the hell is this? This is crazy. We're not even looking at it.
I did look at it, and then I said those things.
Where is it?
It's back at the library. I returned
it.
It's called Bean World.
Bean? It,
Bean, B-E-A-N, as in, like, Lima.
Uh-huh.
And it is a comic from the 80s. Larry Martyr wrote and illustrated it. It is kind of a legendary comic in the indie circles, kind of in the same way that Cerebus was and ElfQuest was. And not many issues actually got made of it.
What makes it legendary?
Oh, it just... Its status among indie comic circles in the 80s. You know, it kind of had that same level of renown and quirkiness as Cerebus and ElfQuest.
And definitely the quirkiness.
It is. I mean, it's stick figures that are beans, and they have adventures, and it's very strange. It's being released in hardcover by Dark Horse, and I read it, and I'm like, I want to read more! I want to read more!
When I was in first grade, I used to draw pictures of popcorn with legs and faces and, like, going out on picnics and stuff.
You know, this is very much like that.
Do you remember the toys, or maybe it's a comic strip, but it was called the Human Beans?
I don't.
It was, they also had a slogan saying, "Nice to be me, I'm a human being." Something like that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was very much along the same lines as Mr. Men and Little Miss.
Oh. Yeah, this was weirder. This was a lot more trippy.
By the way, the website www.bean-world.com just brings up a wallpaper of stars.
Okay.
It's all
well, on your iPhone.
On his iPod Touch.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't have anything else.
This is slightly on
no,
topic,
that's all.
But I noticed walking past Barnes & Noble yesterday, or maybe this morning, I don't even remember, that they are republishing all those books that were out when we were kids of the, like, Mr. Happy,
that's
Mr.
The Mr. Man,
or,
and Little Miss,
yeah.
They've got toys, they're selling the toys at Target.
Yeah.
Do you know who wrote those?
No.
I have to look it up, but it is a couple of comic book people. In fact, I think one of them is Roger Stern.
Really?
Yeah, who... Yeah, let me look it up.
Crazy.
Well, what are picture books for kids, if not...
That's true.
...the early version of comic books, and then we go to...
Who's Roger Stern?
He worked on Captain America.
The Avengers.
Yeah.
He was an artist, right?
I thought he was a writer, but he might be an artist as well.
So do you think Captain America and Mr. Happy are the same character?
Mr. Man?
Was it Mr. Happy?
I don't know. I never read those books.
I did read them, but I don't actually remember them.
Far too advanced for that.
Well, I think I read them before I started school.
But yeah, Bean World, very, very trippy. And yeah, I think Larry Martyr has started writing again. In fact, he had something in the Dark Horse Free Comic Book Day comic, so I'll have to dig that out again.
I haven't read that.
But it does have a continuing storyline. The characters progress and change and stuff as it goes on. It's not just
random.
It's not
vignettes.
Just random vignettes. Because
that's what it seemed like when I was looking at it.
Nope. It actually has a plot. It has stuff happening. Stuff changes. You find out more about the Bean World as time goes by.
Hmm.
Okay, apparently I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Do you
about.
Trade them at all? Is there trading?
Trade the beans?
Yeah. And then maybe do you plant them in fields?
Nope.
It's
not like the game. Are you talking, like...
What is the game called?
Beanapalooza or something like that?
No, it's called... What is the game called, Mike?
Limapalooza.
The Bean
Bonanza.
Game. Bonanza.
Yeah, no, it's completely different. And I also stopped at... I went to Big Brain for the first time in a while, because I was actually looking for something.
Since Free Comic Book Day?
Yes, since Free Comic Book Day. I actually wanted to buy some things, but they didn't have what I was looking for. I want to start reading Judge Dredd. And
why?
I'm
yeah,
curious.
Good question.
I'm curious about the Judge Dredd stories. the 2000 AD, a lot of...
Haven't you seen the movie?
A lot of renowned comic writers and artists kind of cut their teeth on Judge Dredd.
Well, he is very sharp.
Is your phone ringing?
No.
I do hear buzzing.
Yeah.
Somebody's phone is vibrating.
I hear buzzing from this computer.
Oh. Weird. But
okay.
Anyway.
But,
moving on.
But so they've been putting out collections of Judge Dredd comics from 2000 AD. And
how do they get them back to the past?
I knew that's what was kind of, that's why I paused. But they're all imports, and they're all very expensive, and I don't know if I'm willing to spend, you know, $35 on a trade for Judge Dredd comics. So I might see if, well, and I actually asked a guy, I said, can you get older of these 2000 AD collections? And 2000 AD is the comic that had Judge Dredd in it, by the way. It's a British, it's a weekly British anthology comic that you would actually probably enjoy. It's all supposed to be, you know, cyberpunk, dystopic, future,
my kind of
robots,
stuff.
Robots and aliens.
I like dirty robots.
Have
yes.
Robots.
What's that?
Have robots in love.
Maybe. Well, they probably have sex and stuff in it, too.
Yeah. That's what they do in Europe.
Sexy robots.
Have you seen you have seen the ads for the play running
yes.
in town right now?
Robots versus fake robots or something?
Yeah.
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 But it's like, it has to do with, there's like sexy robots on the postcard.
Yes, and I think it's a world in which everybody would rather be a sexy robot, and so there's wannabe fake robot people.
Oh. Yeah, I think there might be some of that in Judge Dredd. But, anyway, I asked the guy, can you get earlier editions of these? Because they had, like, volumes 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
But they didn't have 1 through 7. And he said that it would be tough for him to get them, and they'd be very expensive because they'd be imports, and I'd be better off just ordering them from Amazon.co.uk and paying the exchange rate.
For sure.
For sure.
What about the library?
The libraries don't have them around here. I might be able to interlibrary loan them, but when I looked at the Minnesota State interlibrary loan system, they didn't have any of them either.
Hmm.
So they'd have to get them from out of state, and then they actually charge you.
Okay, so other things we've read lately. Marty picked up a couple of totally new things, and I really liked some of them. One,
surprisingly.
I was kind of surprised. One is called The Unwritten, which is, Oh yeah? Have you been getting it too?
I got the first issue, and I decided based on the first issue and the creators that I would just wait for the trades to come out.
Okay, do you want... We could send it to you as we read it.
I will think about it.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really liking it.
Creators are the same team that did Lucifer.
Oh. I did not realize that.
Mike Carey.
Yeah, I knew I recognized his name, but I couldn't remember why.
He's also done Hellraiser... Or no, not Hellraiser. Hellblazer.
Hmm. Well, yeah, it's for those who are not familiar with it, a little bit of an homage to the Harry Potter universe, and the first comic sets up the idea that the writer of this insanely popular long children's book series about a bespeckled magician boy and his friends has the author himself has disappeared, and his son is who has the same name as the main character. Is kind of been thrust into the spotlight his whole life to help promote the book. But then people start investigating, where exactly did this boy come from?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, when I opened up the first page, I kind of thought to myself, oh, this is a story about, not Harry Potter, but about, and I'm forgetting his name, Books of Magic.
Yeah.
Tim Hunter. Yeah.
Which is also a very good series in its own right, and not a direct homage to Harry Potter, but certainly in whatever the collective id that makes us interested in coming-of-age stories of, you know, young boys coming from nothing and realizing they have powers.
Yeah, I mean, the similarities were very close, just in that they were, yeah, young English boy wizards with dark hair and glasses and pet owls learning how to do magic. It's very close, but they actually, I think Books of Magic got published first, but with a much, much smaller audience, and then Harry Potter came out a few later, years later and blew up.
Yeah.
Well, that's like every real kid in England. I mean, there's only, and they all own owls, and they all
it's
have
just like
magic
profiles
powers.
Of, you know, day in the life.
There's a plagiarism suit going on with, with Harry Potter.
With some
total.
Apparently,
it's been going on for a very long time.
But it's unrelated to Books of Magic.
Yeah.
Probably.
In fact, Neil Gaiman himself has said that, you know, he doesn't think that Rowling plagiarized him.
Yeah.
But he created Books of Magic, he created Tim Hunter.
Yeah.
Right.
No, they're sleeping together.
I mean, he said something along the lines of, you know, people have been writing about children learning to do magic for a very long time. And, you know.
Well, and he himself was the inspiration for Harry Potter.
I am going to
so
smack you. Knock it off.
Well, I think, and their paths diverge pretty quickly. I mean, when you get past the premise and the general description and setup, they really do have very different stories to tell.
Well, you know what? DC actually used Harry Potter in some of their advertising for the Books of Magic. They advertised him as the original wizard or something like that. You know, the original high school wizard.
Yeah, well.
Something to that effect. So, it's not a baseless.
Yeah.
True, but that's also the marketing department.
Right, who wouldn't want to build on that audience that someone else had already cashed in on. So another one of the new ones that Marty brought home is called Chew by John Layman and Rob Guillory. And I think
it's a book of chewing.
Yes, well, kind of. I'd seen the issue zero already, which I guess just has excerpts of this first issue, so it's exactly
it's
the same
weird,
story,
yeah.
But only snippets of it. And
so this is just, like, pages missing from it.
Right. Which, it was enough to know that it'd be interesting, but reading the issue one was a little bit weird, because some pages I totally recognized and some pages are unfamiliar, and I was just thinking I was, you know,
wait, so
going crazy or something.
Stuff out of issue
they literally
one?
Issue zero.
Well,
issue zero
are you sure
is
it was
like,
issue zero, or was
yeah.
it some? Was it a preview in the back of something else?
Oh, it might have
I
been.
I thought it was a preview in the back of something.
I thought it
and was. It was basically like they took two pages from the beginning, two pages from the middle, and two pages from toward the end, and slapped them together. And the funny thing is that it worked fine.
Yeah.
but then
it
reading
didn't
this,
explain what you know what was going on.
Yeah,
so,
reading
yeah.
this, you got a lot more, and you're like, oh. But then there was this part. Oh, I already read this.
Right.
And oh my God, this is so.
It's very disturbing.
So the premise of Chew is that there's a guy who is a PI, he's a, or not a PI, he's an actual cop.
Yeah.
And he has the ability to sense the history of the things that he eats.
So it's like that whole thing where a psychic holds on to an item
mm-hmm.
and can't tell its past.
Right.
But
he
has
to
eat
it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So
as a consequence, he doesn't eat very often, and he's very skinny and hungry.
Apparently, the only thing that doesn't give him flashbacks like this are beets.
Yes.
And so he eats a lot of beets.
How very, what's his name that we went to see at the library?
Tom Robbins?
How very Tom Robbins.
Yes. Well, and he's a very by-the-book cop.
Right.
And
his partner, of course, is the loose cannon.
Right.
Who, like, you know.
And then the other premise of this universe is that it's a world in which bird flu has somehow been used for political leverage and the government has cracked down on chickens.
So they're contraband.
Yes.
And they're speakeasies where you can go and eat fried chicken.
Yes. So it's a world in which food investigations are very important and high profile.
Yeah, the FDA is like the Secret Service.
Yeah.
So,
but it's really well
like,
written and
Thursday Nights and Cheese,
very much
totally,
like that.
Yeah.
Yes,
wow.
You know, it did actually remind me of that.
Yeah. Well, and reading the letters or the the author column at the back, since there are no letters yet, he talked about the fact that he launched this in Image Comics partly as a response to the call to arms by Robert Kirkman, you know, that said, okay, people who are doing work for hire, get off your asses and create something. And this is a guy who's making it, you know, making a decent career for himself doing work for hire. And that inspired him to go ahead and launch his first.
What else was it? What else has he done?
Well, so he had been working on an MMO, like a video game.
Oh, so not
so
comic
not
stuff.
Not comics. Although it
seems like he had some kind of comics history before this, but this is his first. I mean, he's the writer. He brought in an artist to collaborate with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really say what else he worked on. It just says that he had been working at Cryptic Studios, writing what is now the Champions Online MMO. So.
But I have to say, you know, if this is the response to Kirkman's, you know, whole spiel, then bring it on. I'd love to see more, you know, completely
right.
Unusual, slightly disturbing, creator-owned titles just coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. I saw it, and I had read the preview and liked the preview, but didn't know if it was enough to really, like, sustain a comic, and sort of picked it up and was like, okay, yeah, we'll try out the first one. But I really liked it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I really liked it.
So,
what
I feel
else?
Like, on a roll, yet another thing that Marty brought home. And the reason I'm acting like this is such a surprise is that we don't always have the same taste in comics, and often the things that most called to him about the art or things that I don't connect with. And so there's just been this whole series that we both really liked.
I thought you both liked boobs, though.
Generally speaking, although, what was the first one? Yeah, none of these have had boobs so far.
Really?
Nope.
You know what? I bet you if we would get more listeners if we played up the gayness of our podcast.
Play it up? Bring in...
Yeah, I'm like gay on the podcast all the time.
I need
I don't know what your problem is, Mike.
I need go-go boys to really get in the spirit, though. So let's get some for the next one.
I don't know if go-go boys will come across the medium of the in audio.
It'll come across in
your
the
face.
Way we interact with them on the podcast. You'll know that they're there.
You'll hear a lot of sucking noises.
And we could, you know what? Go-go boys and superhero costumes. There you go.
Speaking
chained
of
it
which,
on, chained it on.
Speaking of which,
that's a great segue.
Gay Lexicon has a booth at Twin Cities Pride at the end of this month, and we are hoping to get a lot of people showing up, not just to celebrate Gay Pride, but to show off their Geek Pride. We'd like everyone who comes to visit our booth to wear their finest geekery, whether it's their nerdy T-shirts or their Starfleet uniform. Or their, I don't know, bring their lightsaber. Especially if they have a nice big lightsaber. Or if they want to wear a superhero costume, we're hoping to have a couple of superheroes show up.
What happens
hopefully Wonder Woman will be there, and maybe Thor or Green Arrow.
And what happens if they do?
We are probably going to have some sort of contest. We are... hoping to take lots of pictures, put them up on the website.
Because I can't imagine many people going to Gay Pride in geek attire, because that's the time when, you know, very much losing is going on.
Geek is chic.
Tell that to
geek is the new black.
Geek is the new black.
Okay. What are you going to be wearing?
I will probably be wearing my Gay Lexicon polo shirt.
I see.
But I also probably will sport the Dalek t-shirt at some point as well.
You could wear a cowl.
You could. Or a tiara.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're...
How's that geeky?
I was trying to talk my friend Ray into dressing
tiara.
As Robin, but he says he's too shy.
That does take a lot of...
Well, I guess it depends on which Robin he's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one
classic
after.
Robin costume would mean you'd have to be a little bit brave.
Well, that one kid... is awfully brave all the time.
Who?
The one who dresses as Robin at the local cons.
I think it's his dad that forces him. He's
you know what?
Issues.
He does. His dad talks him into it. He doesn't force him, but his dad talks him into it. Because I've talked to Amada about this. And his dad does talk him into it, but, you know, he gets a lot of attention, too. And, you know, it at a certain point, you
he's
do
gonna write
feed.
A book someday. I was a teenage Robin.
At a certain point, you feed on that attention, and when you're not getting it, you miss it.
You know who was really brave was the guy that wore the Spider-Man outfit at Free Comic Book Day.
Him or the Flash?
No, Flash. You're right, Flash. Sorry.
Flash I don't think he was really brave. I think he might have just been a little absent-minded.
Why?
You saw it.
I don't remember.
Very
Flash.
Skinny. Who knows how old he was, but had
the Flash wasn't wearing underwear.
Wasn't wearing underwear. And
Lycra, you could you could see his religion.
There was. You could have taken a tape measure to that thing and figured out every little. Yeah.
Visible veins.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't that. It wasn't exactly.
You saw.
It,
you could
correct.
See it pulsating.
No, it wasn't that bad.
You could tell
it really
blood
wasn't
flow
that bad.
Going through it.
But
he was vibrating faster than
the speed of sound.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your stack for
yes.
a minute?
Well,
Mike?
Okay. What? Yeah, we were like on the verge of talking about this other comic.
Yeah,
but then she left. And
well,
she's back.
She's back. There's one more that I definitely wanted to. This was the only one that I really felt we needed to plug. It's a trade, but it was only $6. It's black and white. It's the art is
it's not a trade.
It's
an OGN.
What does that mean?
Original graphic novel.
Oh, okay. It's an OGN.
OGN.
For those who don't know, that means original graphic novel.
Yeah.
You know what?
Everyone
that listens to this knows that. And every other podcaster knows that, or they would have been fired.
So anyway, it's, I think, well, I don't know what, if this means it's Russian, who knows. But anyway, it's called Jan's Atomic Heart.
I think it's Jan's Atomic Heart.
Well, Jan's, whatever. It's no. Somebody's Atomic Heart.
God damn it.
Anyway, it's really good.
It is really
and it's,
good.
It's,
does it have robots?
It has robots.
Of course.
And I didn't think Florence would even really like it, except that it was so good that I thought, you know, even if you don't like the genre or the, you know, any aspect of it necessarily, if you actually read it, you'll like it. And she did.
It was true. And it's just an incredibly well-written story that's very based in, you know, human psychology and experiences in this sort of dystopic future that includes access to robot bodies.
Yeah.
And, what was interesting to me is that it kept surprising me. That I was, as I read it, it as it started, I thought, like, oh, this is like many post-apocalyptic movies I've seen, you know, kind of its setup. But the story just kept evolving in ways that I did not anticipate and really that were, like, self-consistent and interesting, and then it wrapped up really well.
Sounds like Judge Dredd.
And you can color it in.
You could color it if you wanted. What it really reminded me of in terms of story and sort of milieu, although it all takes place... On one...
What milieu did it remind you of?
It reminded me of Richard...
Simmons.
Morgan, I think, is the author's name. His,
that sounds right.
Takashi Kovacs.
Richard Simmons?
That's what Mike said. Marty said Richard Morgan.
And Richard Morgan. His Takashi Kovacs universe, which starts with Altered Carbon.
It was really Richard Simmons' pen name.
And if anyone is looking for some really graphic, bloody sci-fi and hasn't read that, it is really good. Like, probably one of the best 5 books I've read in the last 10 years.
I was really looking forward to some really graphic, bloody sci-fi.
You know, I read it.
Do
that's
you like
not
that
how
milieu,
I characterize it.
Mike? That milieu.
You read it? It is on your shelf to read.
Oh, you're right.
I don't think you've read it.
I read... Didn't I read something else?
You might have read something else by him,
okay.
Because... I think the Market Forces book.
Yes, yes.
Market Forces is like a cross between, the premise is essentially that there is fighting on the freeway that's legal, and you, so it's like kind of like Rollerball or...
Well, it's sort of like the macho corporate bullshit taken to a whole next level.
Right.
Where only the very rich, successful, competitive executives have access to the road at all. And they can basically fight each other to the death by car to, like, make it to work to keep their jobs.
Yeah, which is, you know, only 30% plausible, but really fun.
What does everyone else do?
They are stuck in slums without access to enough money for gas.
Yeah, I don't buy it, because there would be revolution before then.
Yeah, it's interesting, because the other premise of the book, and you don't really find this out until, like, halfway through, it sort of becomes more about this than about the, you know, silly fighting in the cars, is that it is essentially a future in which these national conglomerate corporations basically are the governments of the world, but the governments still exist, and they trade them like commodities and stocks.
Trade
and so
what?
the corporates trade the governments. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, like
they trade,
you know,
futures.
Yeah.
And
they
so
might,
they're also manipulating wars as part of
that's exactly it.
Trade.
So they'll start wars and, you know, like to bring the stock prices up or down, and, you know, they'll,
yeah, because that doesn't happen.
Well, it might. They fund the, yeah, you just don't know. But here it's totally blatant. I mean, this is like part of the universe. And they, you know, will fund one militia group so that, you know, that government gets overthrown, and then, you know, they profit.
It sounds so far-fetched.
Well, that's the thing. It does a very good job of being good satire and kind of amping up things about our current culture and telling a good story, which is good sci-fi, I think, all over.
Yeah. Yeah, as unplausible as the driving part seems, the trading of, you know, culture and stuff like that is a lot more plausible.
I don't know, the driving thing, they really do build up to it well, and they kind of explain, like, how we've evolved from now to then.
Yeah, the main character is, like, dating, or married to a mechanic who, like, does, you know, makes these cars for, yeah, it's interesting.
But anyway, back to Mike.
Oh, hi.
Yay!
I've been reading a few things. I've actually started hitting up the library for comics, too. So,
yay, libraries!
So I've three things in particular I wanted to plug. Two Marvel and one not so much. The first one is the Hawkeye Limited series, written by...
I read that years ago.
No, the newest one. And not the Clint Barton Hawkeye. Or the Young Avenger Hawkeye. A new Hawkeye. No. Andy Diggle is the writer, and Tom Rainey is the penciler.
Let me guess who this new Hawkeye is. Is he someone who can hit just about any target?
Yes, it is.
Especially
if
the target is Daredevil's girlfriend.
Who is Daredevil's girlfriend nowadays?
I don't know.
Someone dying.
Who Bullseye's about to kill?
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it's Bullseye.
It's Dakota North, PI.
Ew.
That's not his current girlfriend, is it?
Uh-huh.
I'm
sort of.
Not surprised.
When did they start
dating?
Well, yeah, she's been awesome in the Daredevil comics.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that they had started dating.
Yeah, well, kind of. If they're conflicted, of course.
Of course.
Isn't she kind of a MILF?
I don't know how old she's supposed to be. I mean, her own comic, which lasted like 5 or 6 issues, was in the
80s.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know she wasn't an original character.
Oh, yeah, she's first appeared in Spider-Man, I think.
Oh.
I thought she first
Maybe
appeared in her own comic, actually.
It's possible. I know that she had a series or a limited series at one point, but I thought she had started in...
I don't think so. I think she started in her own comic. It was a very 80s kind of...
Dakota North. Somebody do some more.
the style of the art was... Oh, it reminded me a lot of...
Noir, kind of?
Not really noir. They used a lot of the skinny ties and the broad-shouldered...
Miami Vice.
Well, Miami Vice come Dynasty.
Oh.
As an art style. With a little bit of the... who is the artist that does the black and white women...
Mobis?
I can't remember.
The black and white women...
Nagel.
The Nagel portrait.
Yes.
What?
You don't know Nagel?
That sounds
no.
awful.
Well, it actually was a pretty good comic.
I don't think I read it. I know that she and her organization has made many appearances in Daredevil or Spider-Man.
And she's actually a lot better as a character now than she was back then.
Okay. So anyway, back to the Hawkeye Limited series, which, as Jason... so eloquently pointed out, is actually Bullseye under the Hawkeye guys and his role under Harry Osborn's Evil Avengers.
Oh. Was there a battle for the cowl?
No, there's no battle for the cowl.
So was there already a Hawkeye before he took
it? Well, yeah.
Is there
Clint
a battle
Barton
for the cowl?
Is the Hawkeye, but the good Avengers have been kind of disavowed a bit because of the whole Secret Invasion thing and Tony Stark taking the blame for that and Harry Osborn becoming a hero.
A little bit.
And
like, they're in hiding, aren't they? Or
yeah,
are
they're
they,
in
like,
hiding.
Completely,
they're in hiding
they're not,
because they're in
like,
violation.
No one's writing about them.
No one's writing about them?
No. I mean, are they even
They've
in
got their
any
own
series?
Comics, yes. There's,
no, but like, you read those comics and they're not
You can't get
even
away
in
from them
in
Marvel comics nowadays. Anyway, back to the limited series once again. The point of it is Bullseye is kind of chafing under the restrictions that his guise as a superhero is kind of putting him under. Nobody knows that he's Bullseye because everybody knows Bullseye's a psychotic killer. And he is. And he really needs to go out and kill. He wants to kill. More than that, he wants credit for it. So, it's actually... I didn't pick it up at first because I didn't want to really get the peripheral limited series under the Dark Reign title. But I glanced through it, and it's pretty disturbing. It's interesting. It really pushes the bounds of their whatever rating they give it. I don't see one, actually.
Why would they?
I
am so sick of that whole plot line.
Okay.
Are you even reading Marvel comics?
You're not even reading it, so how do you know?
I'm not. But what I have read, I just think it's so dumb.
What have you read?
You made me read a whole series, The Thundercats or whatever.
That was a long time ago.
Thunderbolts.
That was a long time ago.
That was even
before to do with
the Secret. That was when Warren Ellis was writing it.
Right.
And you enjoyed that.
No, I didn't.
You said you did at the time.
No, I did not. I definitely did not.
I bet we could go back and find podcasts where you said you did.
No, I don't.
We had to listen to our own podcast. No, it's worth it.
No. no, I definitely did not enjoy that. And in fact, I distinctly remember saying I didn't enjoy it because it's all about people that you don't like. You don't want to like the main characters. It's like the whole premise of this complete, like, not just an arc, it's like the whole universe right now. The premise of the universe is let's write about bad guys. Let's write about people that you don't want to read about, or anyway that you can't
like. Well,
you don't
want
to read about them.
People do want to read about comics. Okay.
Or
bad guys.
I don't want to read about
Well,
them.
Wait, cousin.
Didn't you really, really like Wanted?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Kinda.
What it is you know, we really do want to read about the bad guys, but we want to read about them getting their butts kicked.
We want to read about heroes, kind of. We don't want villains to be glorified, which is kind of... I can see Marty's point in these comics, and it's certainly a valid point. We don't want to see villains glorified and kind of win, but I don't think that's what's really going on in these either.
Well, it's definitely what's happening in the
I wouldn't call them protagonists in
Thunderbirds,
comics.
Thundercats, Thunderbolts, Marty. Thunderbolts.
Thunderballs.
Right.
Thunderbuns.
Anyway, I find it interesting. It's pretty violent. It's disturbing. And it kind of surprised me with the way it's going. The next one is the new relaunch of the New Mutants.
Oh, actually, before you go on, I did find out that Dakota North, sorry, two different Google results came up.
Thunder Dakota?
Dakota Thunder North ties. Is a fictional character. She first appeared in her eponymous limited series, Dakota North, number 1-5, but then she subsequently appeared in Spider-Man and Power Pack and Marvel Superheroes, Cage...
Power Pack.
She did.
Black
she
Panther.
Appeared in Power Pack.
She, like, Nanny 911 or something?
No, it was a crossover.
So she was created in 1986. She didn't make it a Daredevil until 2006.
20 years
later.
Does it say who the artist was?
Created by Martha Thomasis and Tony Solomons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The relaunch of the New Mutants, which is a new ongoing series. Which, you know, me and Jason both are huge fans of the original New Mutants, Which is what this is billed as.
I'm a huge fan of the, you know, first 50-some issues of the original.
Well, the original series of the New Mutants.
Yeah. I mean, basically...
Original teamed, original stories, yeah. Not, you know, after Claremont left and Magneto kind of took came in and everything, then it got... You know what? When Brett Blevins became the artist,
you know,
and Louise Simonson wrote it, that's when it really became...
I like Louise Simonson's writing, but Brett Blevins... And then, you know, it was that transition into Liefeld.
Yeah. Yeah.
That...
Do you remember that skanky chick, Gossamer? She had
the
weird spiky hair and the pointy boobs. It was from Brett Blevins' creation. Anyway,
oh, yes.
Yeah, she was disgusting. Anyway, the one thing I got to say about it, it's a good series. I like it. They bring back the villain Legion, who's always kind of fun as a villain. But the first bad thing that they did is on the cover of the first issue, they have characters that they have no sign of appearing in either of the first two issues, and that's Warlock, Cypher, and... You know what? Wolfsbane is not on the cover. I thought she was, but she's not. Maybe they're planning on bringing them back later.
They better bring Warlock,
you know,
and Cypher.
Cypher is currently dead, isn't he?
Who cares? It's comics.
That just, what does that mean?
Dead?
They just need to figure it out.
But otherwise, it's a fun series. It's okay. It's pretty good. Have you read them yet, Jason?
No.
Okay. They're written by, blah, blah, blah.
If you had to summarize the story of the New Mutants.
Oh, yeah, Zeb Wells.
And
you know what, though? You know what Zeb Wells wrote? Those crappy Runaways Young Avengers crossovers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, let's give him a lesbian character to work with. In Karma.
Yeah, has Karma gotten tortured yet?
Actually, it's funny you should ask that.
Really?
Oh my god. In fact, this is so funny. I think one of the tortures from, and I'm going to mispronounce the Iraqi prison, Abu Ghraib or something like that.
Abu Ghraib.
Wasn't one of the tortures that they got caught doing was locking people into too small of a box for an extended period of time?
I don't remember.
Well, anyway.
Stand by.
Anyway, Karma, welcome to Abu Ghraib. So, yeah, I did not realize that. That brings a very interesting spin to it.
Huh.
She's actually possessed by Legion in the comic. So
it's okay that she's tortured?
Actually, okay. It's Legion that's in the box. Karma's psyche is kind of trapped in Legion, and her body is actually stuffed in some closet and kind of tied up. So yeah, she does experience a small amount of torture.
So he is going after the...
That's, you know, that definitely puts a different spin on this comic.
Huh, interesting.
What's the, I'm not getting the joke.
The Young Avengers Runaways limited series, the first one anyway, from Civil War.
Yep.
Written
by Zeb Wells. Written
by Zeb Wells. Is kind of infamous for the three gay characters, and actually four, if we consider Zavin to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
He can be whatever he wants.
Transgender.
Yeah. But we're talking about Wiccan, Hulkling, and...
Zavin has joined them?
No, we're talking Young Ways and Avengers.
Okay, sorry.
Young Runaways and Young Avengers, no.
Yeah.
What's the girl's name?
Carolina.
Carolina, yes. They're captured and tortured by the villain. And the fact that they happen to do that to the only three gay characters and no one else...
There were other battles and stuff.
Yeah.
But the ones that got captured and tortured
were the gay characters.
Yeah.
Which, at the time, I kind of found like a ridiculous argument. I didn't see anything in it. You know, it could have happened to any one of them. Or is he going to be accused of straight bashing if he hadn't? pick any
of
the gay characters.
I mean, at the time, Caroline and Zavin were the only couple in Runaways.
Well, Hulkling and Wiccan.
Well, and Hulkling and Wiccan and Young Adventures were a couple.
Well, that's what I mean. But other than the two gay couples, were there any other couples that could be, you know, for that particular... If the plot line was about couples...
Well, it wasn't that they
had
were...
nothing to do with them being couples. It's just the characters themselves were gay and got captured and tortured.
Yeah.
So that got some press for that. In the next series, which was the
Secret Invasion one. I totally agree with you, Mike, because, I mean, why would that be bad?
Yes.
I mean, if we just tortured gay people...
Shut up. I am tortured on a daily basis just hanging out with you.
Especially during this podcast.
But yeah, at the time I didn't find, you know, if no one had brought it up, I probably wouldn't have even noticed.
It didn't seem like they were overtly singled out, is what you're saying.
A lot of people saw it that
way. Somebody points it out, you're like, oh yeah, they are. Like,
you know,
all the gay characters in those particular groups. But
now,
when you were reading it, you didn't think, like, oh my god, they're torturing... only the gay characters.
Well, it's like we've talked about before with Perry Moore's List.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Perry Moore kind of went all the way to the extreme in saying, look at all the terrible things that always happens to gay characters in comics.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, look at all the terrible things that happen
to
characters
in comics.
Comics.
You need a control.
Protagonists in comics are supposed to be... dumped upon.
Yes.
Well, they're
exactly.
also supposed to have kind of extra.
I'm very bad at reading this, but somebody had done like a book and where they devoted a chapter to like all the times in the classic Wonder Woman stories where she was like tied up and needed to be rescued and all that and these bondage things.
Yeah.
And then later somebody else was like, yeah, that's true, but like look at all the times Robin got tied up.
Look
at all the times Robin got tied up.
You know, all the team sidekicks, basically, and other characters are just going on like that.
Yeah, a hero's supposed to face adversity.
Yeah.
And just because they're gay doesn't mean that they're being gay bashful.
Well,
they face adversity.
Yeah, and they often also have powers that are supposed to allow them to handle
the
normal rough and tumble, and so you have to amp it up for there to be any consequence for them.
However, though, now in light of this new series and another gay character being tortured,
now we have
out is being tortured. We have a pattern going on now. And
did something happen in the other Runaways Young Avengers?
No.
Zeb Wells didn't write the fall, did he?
I thought he did.
The Secret Invasion one?
I thought he did. But
I read part of one issue of that or something. But
it wasn't very interesting.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they just got so much worse.
It's true. I mean, for two series that were so awesome, Young Avengers and Runaways, that their crossovers have sucked, and the series themselves have
even with
languished.
Good authors, like with authors that I would normally
like
consider,
Eaton.
Yeah.
And
well, Terry Moore, I think, is doing better, although Susie had to send me it to read in batches. When I read the first issue by Terry Moore, I was like, oh, that's it. I'm done with Runaways. But when I read the whole arc together, it was okay.
Yeah, I think they've got a guest writer on this one, on the newest issue of Runaways. And I'm forgetting who's got the next one.
What?
I've got it in my stack. I can check.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think what bothered me, the first issue with Terry Moore, it felt like they had suddenly gotten younger. Like, I felt like they were fairly sophisticated, and all of a sudden it seemed like, and now this is a kid's comic or something. Like, it definitely is skewed younger in the latest round.
In the latest one, Molly visits the X-Men, and it's kind of lame. I actually didn't get.
Wow, are you telling me that Wolverine has yet another young female sidekick?
He's on the cover. She and he are on a motorcycle together.
Although,
yeah,
I mean, to be honest, Molly visiting the X-Men and kind of teaming up with Wolverine is very reminiscent of Katie Power and Wolverine hitting it off well. Happened in
the
Power Pack
X-Men crossover.
The
writer for this issue is Chris Yost.
Chris Yost.
I like Chris Yost.
Yeah.
What else has he done?
I think he might be doing the next one, too. He used to do the New Mutants, although they were called the New X-Men at the time.
It is a one, it's a single issue, though, so I don't know if it's continuing or what. But it's a one out.
I do not think that Zeb Wells did the Secret Invasion in Avengers Runaways. You might be right with that, Jason. But some of the other stuff that he's done was Heroes for Hire, number 8 through 15, when that ended. A bunch of Spider-Man stuff. Some New Warriors, volume 3.
So I'm reading the first issue of the New Mutants, and I would just like to point out there is a giant ad for the Navy. Like a full page, you know, full bleed ad of the Navy, and there's a giant, you know, airplane that is the full page basically of the ad. If you turn the page,
oh, you got the blackboard.
Yeah, they clearly like,
oh,
you know,
gross.
Place this.
They actually have a drawn plane, the next layout that's exactly the same as the advertisement.
Well,
right.
That
it's not exactly the same, but like, but I mean, they I would guess. That they placed this ad intentionally right next to the plane.
To what
page.
End? Why?
Because that's what they do.
Because they're trying to sell people like, you'll be a superhero if you
right.
sign up
join
for
the Navy
your life.
So you can.
Bullshit.
You think it's the advertisers or the publishers that placed it?
Yep.
I think it's probably the marketing department.
Okay. Final comic book that I read. And this isn't kind of another OGI. Marty, what does that mean again?
Independent
O
graphic something
on God's
never mind. Okay.
Intestine.
It's called Garage Band, and it's by an Italian artist named, and I might be mispronouncing this, GP or GP, I don't know.
Wait, let me see.
GIPI.
GP.
GP. It's about three or four teenagers. Who basically, you know, the title tells it all. They get a garage and they are practice with their rock band. It's a very simple story. It's a very, you know, low-key story about, you know, teenage life during the summertime and their efforts to make this band work. There's some the characters are really interesting. One of them's obsessed with his father's mortality. Another one's kind of obsessed with... And this is kind of the off-putting character, but he's actually one of the more interesting ones. He's obsessed with Nazi art.
I started reading it. I started reading the first, like, 5-10 pages, and I wondered if he... I mean, is he supposed to be a Nazi? Or is he just obsessed with the art?
No. One of the other characters talks about it, and they're like... His girlfriend's like, I don't think I could hang out with anybody that was a Nazi. He's like, he's not a Nazi. He's just an idiot. He's like, but he likes Nazi stuff. Yeah, but he's just an idiot. So, but he was actually one of the more interesting ones. There's another character who is extremely skinny, but kind of a very self-conscious about his body image, which is pretty interesting. Like, she's like, come into the water. He's like, no, people are going to stare. I'm only 130 pounds. People are looking. It was kind of funny. I liked it a lot. It's watercolor art, and it's really neat. Marty started reading and liked it a lot.
There was a really great quote in the first, like, three pages that...
Yeah, this one character who's kind of one of the quirkier ones, and also the most obsessed with making the band work. He keeps bringing up medical terminology and saying what's happening. Like, when they first find the garage... And he's looking at it and says it's all dirty. There's rat crap everywhere. He says, we're going to get leptospirosis for sure. 24 hours of excruciating pain. Then we'll go into spasms and croak. There's no cure for it. Something else later. What was the one about the...
Yeah, that wasn't the quote.
I know. Well, that was within the first three pages.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, let me find it.
Okay. Anyway, everyone go rent it from your library. It was originally in Italian and it was translated to English, I think, in 2007.
It's interesting to think of that as sort of a universal teenage experience outside of the States.
Mm-hmm.
What is?
A garage being in a band, yeah.
Outside of the States?
They also run into the Hell's Angels, too. And I didn't know they existed in Italy, but... The the deal with the getting their garage from one of their one of the kids' kind of well-to-do parents is that they had to stay out of trouble, and they could have the garage. But at one point, one of their like speakers or subwoofers or whatever breaks down, and so they find a nice one in a church and decide to break in and steal it. And along with that, they steal kind of a cool bass guitar.
From a church?
I think it was from a church. That's what I remember it being, a church from. In fact, there was, I think, a question about what is a bass guitar doing here. And it turns out it belongs to this biker gang, who find out because one of them loses their wallet there. And
what?
That's some crack
breaking. Yeah, you have to be pretty dumb to drop your wallet during a robbery.
Well, the funny thing is, no, actually what happened is that his pocket snagged on something and it tore, and the wallet fell out. They did have to, like, climb through windows to get to it.
Okay,
start right. Then, so.
I found the quote. It's after they're talking about the guy who's approaching, but he can't hear them yet, and he's the drummer. And the guy I thought was the most interesting character says, "Drumming results in the ongoing irreversible development of micro lesions in the brain."
Yeah. There's kind of a little competition between all of them, like who works the hardest for it. And
didn't he used to be a drummer, Marty?
No,
he used to be a lead singer.
Yes, I was
in a hair metal band.
I was in several bands.
Did you get clocked in the head by a falling piece of set?
No, never. But I never really played any gigs either. So
you never made it to Broadway?
No.
Here's the funny part about when the swimming thing, and you can kind of tell on just his expression on the kid's face that he's got anxiety about people seeing him without his shirt on, and he's like, "I'm going swimming now, but it's rough out there, and it's freezing cold, and there are people here, and I'm too skinny. I weigh 130 pounds. They'll see me. I can't go out there." And
his
girlfriend,
Michael Cera,
probably, and. And the girlfriend's like, "Come into the water, silly. Nobody's watching you." And so, finally he does. And the girl's like, "Watch out, there are people, they're watching you."
Well, the other things that I have recently caught up on, and I don't know how recent these are, the fourth issue of Gigantic really ends in a game-changing twist.
What is Gigantic?
Gigantic is the latest series by Remender.
Oh, okay.
Which is awesome. I mean, it's really good.
Is it tied into Fear Agent at all?
It's a good example of something that I do not like, that Marty likes.
So, did you read this one?
Yeah.
You did. Yeah, I kind of didn't like the twist at the end.
Yeah.
It's a little bit
the twist
cliched.
Is that there's aliens. Oh, wait, no, that's an ad.
Yes.
It just happens to be on the last page.
So Gigantic, like, still think it's really good, but I kind of feel like they better make that really interesting or I'm going to be disappointed in it. Also read the, I don't know what number this is. This isn't even the latest one, I think, or maybe it is, of Ignition City.
It doesn't have a number on the cover?
It says number 2 design sketch, but this isn't the second one, or if it is, there's another one somewhere.
It might be the second one.
We have a 0. Maybe
yeah.
There's only 3 and that includes a 0. Anyway, Ignition City, I think, is getting really interesting. Have you read much of that yet?
Yeah, I also have not liked it.
Have you read it all?
Well, probably not the latest
I think
one.
You only
I
read the
I
first
read...
one, and you were like, this is dumb.
Yeah, it's possible.
But I really like it, and it's interesting because it's about this... You know, sort of. You don't really know much about the universe yet, but other than that, there's, you know, extraterrestrial life in the universe, and they are essentially saying, yeah, Earth is a little bit backwater. You can't leave your planet, you know, or you know, individuals can leave the planet, but they kind of have to like contract with these alien races. And there's some alien races that are some aliens that have come and sort of live in Ignition City, and Ignition City is the only place on the planet that has any, traffic, any, you know, anyone going into space from it. And, but it's kind of this weird, no country owns it, so there's weird laws and kind of, like, it kind of feels like a, you know, Wild Wild West type scenario.
Yeah, it definitely plays out the frontier imagery and attitude.
Right, but the reason it's like that is that no country, no nationality, or, you know, no nation owns this one part, because that's the only part that they can lift off from. Anyway, and this woman goes there because her father lived there and he was recently murdered. And so she's kind of figuring out his murder. Which I don't know, I think it's interesting so far. And it's Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
It's another Warren Ellis title.
How many comics is he writing?
I know,
too
it's ridiculous.
Many.
And he tweets like 30,000 times a day.
I still think it's people that tweets for him.
I don't think so. Because it's pretty banal. It's like, oh, I'm writing an article for this thing now. Like, I'm writing this.
He's got sycophants that follow him around and record his every
maybe.
Gesture and voice.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Now you have that actually wouldn't surprise me either.
No, not really.
There probably people that willingly do that.
Oh,
would
yeah.
Have,
look, yeah.
And there was one other thing, I think, over here, but I don't... Oh, so we recently read this, although I'm sure it's not new at all. Shazam, the Monster Society of Evil.
No,
by
it's
Jeff
not
Smith.
New.
What, Susie?
Yeah, that was when I let you read.
That's what I thought.
Yep, 2007.
Marty's like, no, I think I bought that.
Well,
I wasn't
you
sure.
Know what? I think you did buy it, and you gave it to me as a hardcover. As like a
oh, really?
Birthday present or something. Or maybe Mike did.
Oh.
I forget. I know that I got the Monster Society of Evil as a...
From somebody
as a hardcover as a birthday present. It might have been Robert. I don't remember who I got it from.
I don't know, but yeah, it seemed like something I would buy. But yeah, it's totally plausible that you loaned it to us, Susie.
Yeah, keep your list active, Susie. But we really enjoyed it.
That I bought... And Weedy CityCom as like a whole run of, you know, a good price on a whole run.
What,
yeah.
What's that you did?
The Monster Society of Evil, I think I bought that at Weedy CityCom.
Oh, okay.
From Dark Towers booth, where they were selling whole runs of stuff for a really good price.
Nice, nice.
And I've still got stuff from that, which is back in like November, I think, that I haven't read yet.
October.
And actually, that kind of is a good seg into what I've been reading recently, which was same deals that I bought out of the whole run of Civil War.
Whoa.
What'd you do that for?
I just now read it.
Well, you're just talking about the 7 issues, not...
Just the 7 issues.
Yeah.
Not the, like, all the other...
Why would you subject that to yourself to that? Haven't you been listening to our podcasts? Tell you to stay away from it. What do you think?
I did like that the central issue was not, you know, a very easy one to decide on, and that the, you know, the arguments for and against it were both pretty valid. I did feel like I didn't really understand why one character was on one side, one character was on the other. I'm sure that they went into that at great lengths in their individual books.
Yeah.
But since I was just reading the 7 issues, it just felt like, well, I'm on this side, and I'm on this side.
Yeah, there are some characters that seemed arbitrarily pointed out, but there are some that actually seemed like it made sense that they were on that side also.
And then, yeah, the end seemed to just kind of peter out and be like, okay, this is how it is now, the end.
Yeah, like all good series.
Yeah.
Although, a month later, Captain America died.
Yeah, I kind of, like, I had associated the two. I thought he was going to die in the last issue of that. I didn't know that it happened in something else.
Apparently they were going to have him die in the last issue, but or in a one-shot aftermath, but then it was kind of decided that it had to happen in his own comic.
Okay.
Which made sense.
So...
Yeah, kind of fair enough, like, you are reading Captain America, I'm reading Captain America, and then, like, the next issue, oh, he's dead!
Yeah. Speaking of that, I've been seeing various news items, and I haven't followed up on any of them. Captain America Reborn. You know what? I've seen the ads for that, and I think they're a bit misleading. And There's, you know what, I'll find it in a moment. They've got something a little bit more clarifying in one of the most recent comics here about what is actually going to go on.
Like,
it's one of the anniversaries of Captain America.
Okay. I kind of wondered if you know, part of it is them, is Marvel playing on the news around the Flash Rebirth.
I don't know anything about that.
That's basically Barry Allen Flash coming back.
He was gone?
Yes. Ever since 87...
It was so quick, Mike didn't even notice.
That was the Flash that died during the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
So he was dead? He wasn't just...
He was dead.
Run into an alternate adventure?
30 years. 20 years. 23 years.
Oh. How many other Flashes are there?
Well, there's the Golden Age Flash. There's Wally West, who used to be Kid Flash. There's Bart Allen, who used to be Impulse.
They all turned to Flash.
Yes. Oh, stop it. You knew that Barry Allen had died.
I honestly don't know which Flash is which.
They do all wear the exact same costume, the
most
part, except for the original one.
And they run fast, so
it's
hard to tell
them apart. Unless you know, to be like, it could have been the exact same person the whole time.
Only one of them is named Jordan.
You know what? I actually can't find an ad for the Captain America thing. But what I think it is it's a limited series
Gordon.
That kind of shows the impact that Captain America had on each of the, on certain key characters. But since Jason's not listening, it doesn't matter.
Sorry.
I'm not repeating
Marty was it. Marty was making... Well, you don't have to repeat it. We recorded it. I can listen to it later.
Jason actually doesn't pay attention at all during the podcast.
No, what I was
so that later it will
was,
be, you know,
Marty trying
to him.
Marty trying to be funny by going only one of them is named Jordan,
but
and he's like and
Gordon.
Gordon,
yeah,
perhaps?
Yeah.
Here is kind of a,
Jordan.
Here is kind of an ad that Jason might appreciate.
What?
It's,
Evel Knievel.
It's apparently Marvel's 70th. Year. Oh, they're also bringing back the Timely imprint, Jason.
Yeah, I know.
This
I've
has something to do with the Captain America thing, too. Yeah, so if I think they're including Timely in on the 70th anniversary thing, the time that before Marvel actually existed. But yeah, they've got a retro comic book cover in there from Evel Knievel, celebrating its 70 years of existence.
Retro comic book ad.
No, I think it was an actual comic book. It
says, this advertisement appeared in Marvel Comics published in January 1974.
Oh, okay.
This would be a pretty crappy cover if it was a cover.
No, they've had some pretty crappy covers in their day.
I want them to have some Hostess ads. You remember the Hostess ads.
Yeah, I do.
Cupcakes?
Cupcakes.
I remember, the ones I remember are the... The send away for, you know, so these things get all these points and win stuff like parachutes and little remote control cars and stuff like that.
Yep,
I can't remember what those were called.
Anything else?
So I watched a movie the other day called Confidential.
Oh, how was that?
It was interesting. It was basically, it's a documentary that was made in like the late 80s. And it mainly was just like covering the history of comic books up to that point. And so it was really stuff that I didn't know, but they got a lot of people, like, really important people to interview. And it just covered, you know, each movement up through the 80s. I thought it was good. It was not, you know, mind-blowing, but it was a very good, very thorough documentary.
I still want to see the one with Mark Hamill. That wasn't the one with Mark Hamill.
No,
that's not the one with Mark Hamill. I actually have that. It's pretty funny.
It is pretty fun.
What's it called?
It's just called Comic Book of the Movie.
That's right.
Where is that a convention?
It's. I think he filmed it at a San Diego Comic Con one year, and basically he just used the entire... everybody who was at the con as extras.
Oh, I bet
and
they hated that.
They they got to be in it as long as they could, you know, keep themselves from either calling him Mark or Luke, because he was playing, you know, a character at the time. So as long as that person he was talking to did not call him Mark or Luke, they could be in it.
How about Matthew or John?
I don't know.
He only represents half of the disciples, or half of the Gospels. I love this Evel Knievel ad, though. It's for the Evel Knievel stunt cycle, which I remember from when I was a kid. I had friends that had it. It was cool. But some of the things that it shows is that sensational leaps over your neighborhood ditch. Jumps your set of encyclopedias, volumes A through W.
We are not going to talk about all those comics that you just grabbed out of
the
other
know,
library.
It is. I am going to fall asleep. I know that longtime listeners will be shocked to hear that, but really,
okay, I want to talk about two things, though. First.
Next time.
Susie, were you done?
Did we already talk about this in a podcast?
I've got a dilemma that you guys could maybe help me solve.
What is your dilemma, Susie?
The woman who does the webcomic Anders Loves Maria.
Yeah.
Is, selling sketches, like original sketches. You donate money to her site to help her keep running it, and she will do an original, like, sketch that's also colored in watercolor if you pay, like, 50. And I want to get it because I really like her artwork. I think it's really pretty, really interesting. It would be very nice on my wall. I have no idea what I want her to sketch, though. Like, that's the situation is you have to tell her what you want to have sketched. I don't know.
That seems like too much pressure.
Aquaman!
Xena, Warrior Princess. Joss Whedon.
A girl and a cat?
Captain Hammer and Dr. Horrible. And Penny.
No,
and
you should do Captain Hammer, the captain from Firefly, and
the author from Castle.
Yes.
An XKCD character.
Lame.
Doctor Who fucking a Dalek.
What? What are you talking about? Mike, do you kiss your mother with that mouth?
So
no,
there is
somebody else's.
Weren't we talking about Dalek porn last?
Yes. I don't know if that was on tape, that conversation, but we have had that conversation.
They do kind of look like big vibrators.
With lots of attachments.
Yeah. Key on this.
Keep it coming.
I don't know. What you have her sketch is kind of a personal decision.
I
mean,
know,
it has to go up on your wall.
It seems like there should be an out for just, like, draw something you like. Artist person.
A nude study of Buffy Summers.
So, does she do other things other than Anders Loves Maria?
Not that I know of. As far as I know,
Maria loves
Anders. I mean, and the thing is, her art is really interesting and cool. Like, it's really beautifully composed, but the actual characters are very crude. Like, the human figures are stylized, I guess is what I should say.
So, I think it would be best to have her sketch one of her creations.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what do we want?
Well, Anders and Maria, I guess.
Anders is an asshole.
How about Maria with who you want Maria to end up with?
Okay.
Wolverine?
Huh?
Well, he's in everything else.
Maria and Wolverine.
He is in everything else, so...
including Anders.
Ooh la la.
And the Dalek.
All right, Marty, I know that you want to talk about those.
No,
but
it's
maybe
fine.
We should
I don't need to talk about these
hold
things.
Hold them for next time.
It's fine.
Same bat time, same bat web channel. That would kind of be a spider web channel, wouldn't it? I don't know.
A web channel?
A web Earl.
Web Earl?
Web Earl.
Bat Earl. Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Au revoir.